Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Good evening to everyone. Hidden Treasures Revealed is on the air once again. Tuesday evening. My name is Sean, and really awesome tonight. I've got, from our church gathering, I've got with me Alex Arroyo, and welcome him to the podcast. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing good. We're trying out these new headsets that we have. This is the first time, first time for you, second time for me, getting the sound of it right, making sure the breathing isn't heavy, that kind of stuff. So I had a good day, just good opportunity to learn lessons, learn to trust in Yah throughout the day, things like that. So how was yours? Other than that, you have a good day yourself?
My day was pretty good. It was pretty laid back. First day going back to school after spring break and just getting back into my schedule rhythm. But it was a pretty calm, relaxing day.
And if you could, for those that are out there listening, maybe listening live or will listen later, because we've had several different members of our church gathering on the podcast. And if you could just, if you wanted to just say some things about yourself, how long you've been at the gathering, stuff like that, just anything you'd like to share, just kind of introduce yourself to everybody.
I'm 15. I've been with the church, I think 10 years now, pretty sure 10 years, and still learning and growing. But yeah, so that's pretty much it. I do football, wrestling, and yeah.
What's really neat, because it's taken me back now, I remember probably being your age, maybe a little bit younger, where I used to go to church, that they would have occasionally a youth Sunday where the youth would do Sunday school, the youth would do the sermon, lead the church service, things like that. And I was just remember taking me back. I can see where I was sitting in the classroom, the little lesson book in front of me, and just being petrified of like having no idea what to say, if anybody's going to care, how do I get through this as quickly as I can? And when you said that, I just thought of how many 15-year-olds have the knowledge and wisdom that you have from being in the gathering, that you could explain to somebody the gospel message and the steps of the gospel message. Now, with all of us, detail, you could go way deeper in different levels, but there's things that you understand that people that would be in their 40s, 50s, or older that would claim that they've studied the Bible and religion, that things that they have no idea, don't have understanding of it, that you could speak freely about it. And this, it's not your age of being 15, just like the age of accountability. It's not like if you're exactly 15, exactly whatever, that then you gain understanding. It's you train a child young at the beginning, the truth of God. And the way that you raise a child is the way that they will go and they won't depart. So it's just encouraging for me to have you on here, because I remember when you were first coming from where you were then to where you are now, the fact that you're having an opportunity to be on a podcast to talk about faith in God and being able to relate it to what you're doing and your athletic things that you do and then at school. So I just think it's really cool, and especially Yah giving you what they're giving you to talk to us about tonight.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's just really interesting going through my everyday and getting opportunities to work on things that we've talked in the gathering, and being put to the test, see if I'm growing or what I need to work on, and being able to see that throughout every day, and seeing how I do, and the challenges and the struggles that I have, and using what I've learned throughout all these years and putting them to these challenges to better me through them. It's really interesting, and it's really awesome to see how much that has helped me.
And you had mentioned briefly that you play football and you do wrestling. Well, think about just wrestling itself, how we could use the different principles of wrestling and relate that to faith. And you could take faith and relate it to wrestling, playing football, being a team sport, but you playing your individual part. And that's the thing, because I did some athletics when I was growing up, youth things, basketball, never played football. That's one thing. If I could go back and change, I would play football. Just looking back and watching it, I would have liked to do that. But I did track and field and did basketball, more basketball, but really I got into music. But yeah, just using what you were brought up with, and even looking back at music and the sports, the lessons that you can learn, because you can learn so many lessons. You can learn faith concepts from the sports even while you're doing it. And you know, and that could be even today or a future podcast that you're on with me, that we could get into the sports side of it and how do you relate your experiences and your athletics to faith and vice versa. But you got a very interesting concept that Yah brought to you. So I'll give you the floor if you'd like to just speak about what Yah put on your mind for this, and we'll see where they take us from there.
Alrighty. So tonight it was brought to me from when I was told that I was going to be on this podcast, and over time talking to Yah, that we'd be talking about the potter / the potter's hand. And I've been doing research on it, and because it was really interesting, it's a really interesting concept to me, and just seeing the perfect creation that which Yah has made from the very beginning, and the little details that go into it, where everything has its place, and every single thing has that minor concept detail that there's no way that there's not a God or a Yah that he exists, because every little detail, that concept that has to be there for this to work and for this to work with that. And I think it's just really interesting how everything correlates back together.
Have you ever seen an actual potter work with clay? Like, have you ever seen any videos on that, and like speak to that? Like, have you seen, like, watch somebody like actually working with clay on a wheel?
I have a couple of times, and I've gotten the opportunity to make clay when I was younger, and it's way harder than it looks, because even just the slightest touch, a mistake, can mess up the entire thing, you have to restart from the beginning. So the very detail and careful and how gentle you have to be to get it just right, and just the very detail it goes into making a pottery or clay, it's so you have to be so precise that a simple mistake can just mess up your entire thing. You have to start down back from the beginning.
And I've seen bits and pieces of somebody working with clay. Do you know enough about it, like, to explain, like, what you do, like, with the clay, like, how you get it on the wheel? Do you have, like, knowledge of that? Do you recall?
To a certain degree, like, I know when I was made it, they would put it on the, like, they put it on the wheel, and then they give you a slab, right? And so They gave us a bowl of water, it was to help like with the clay from not drying out and to help spread it and move it across. Because while the wheel is spinning, you would have to shape it, and you would have to take your time with building it up. Because I remember when I was doing it that I had messed up a couple times when I was trying to shape it, and I messed up wrong, and it messed up the whole top part, and I had to rebuild it back up because it would mush it back down. And so it's like you have to build it up slowly, and but like working it and make sure it doesn't dry out at the same time.
You actually, when you're working with it, can you do any of that work without the actual wheel moving, or do you have to keep the wheel moving as you're shaping it? Like, do you do anything without the wheel moving, or does the wheel move pretty much the whole time, from what you know?
It really just depends on what you're working on, because if you're not doing like any details or anything like that, you could stop the wheel to like help make fix adjustments and whatnot. Like if something, you could just fix it. But if you're doing like the details and you're making like the designs and all that, then most of the time, unless it's like a very like precise or like very detailistic design, like you're drawing a creature on it, or you would do that when the wheel's not moving. But like if you're making like lines and squiggles on it, then you can do that while the wheel is moving, because if you're doing it around the whole vase, then you just do it as the wheel spinning.
It's interesting just thinking about this from the Word of God and the aspect of the potter and the clay. Who would you say is the potter and who is the clay?
I would say we are the clay, and that Yah would be the potter, because we are formed in his aspect, in his view. And so he is shaping us into what he wants us to be. And I remember we watched a video on that a while ago where they were doing a concept of that, where they were chiseling Adam at a sculpture. And I remember that video precisely, like really it sticks in my head, that when he was shaping him to what he wanted to be, it was painful because he was getting rid of all the bad and negative parts of his aspect that was stuck to him. And so when he was chiseling him, getting rid of all the sin and all the bad things that he was doing, or he had a part of him that was stuck to him. And that was really interesting to see that, because that just another version of what the potter would be in a different aspect.
That's a very good explanation. Correct when you speak that, and we'll take it back to the very beginning, the creation aspect, that Yah is the creator, Yah is the potter, and we are the creation or the created. And a lot of times what will happen is we think that we know better than Yah does. And it made me think of the scripture where it says, does the one formed, are they able to say to the one that formed them, why have you made me like this? But we do it when we complain. We go, really? Is that, I don't understand. And can you see on the potter's wheel that the clay will kind of wobble and fall off to the side, because no, I don't want to be on this wheel. I want to do what I want to do. And no. In Yah's creation, Yah in the Word of God says this, that in our image, they were made male and female. So Yah has created the human being, and we can attempt to make changes to it. And like people in the world, people will attempt to change their gender, different things like that. And people would do that in their mind, but what Yah has made, you cannot change what God has set in place. And even Yah says that when two, the man and woman, become one flesh, that it says, and people will say, like, let man not separate. Well, you can't separate it. Like, if with you and your family, that if I were to try to separate you, like, from an aspect, like if I took a sword and I just cut you in two, well, you're in two pieces, but I can't remove you. I can't separate you from your family. And the way I did this is Yah has made their creation, the things that are set. You can attempt to modify it, but you can't change it. What we have the responsibility to do is, are we going to allow ourselves to be centered on that wheel? Find faith in God where we allow Yah to, through their word. And I thought it was interesting that you mentioned that the clay has got to be wet. Have you ever thought about the living water, that being washed with water through the word, that you put the water on it, it keeps the clay pliable where you can work with it. But if you want to be stubborn and stiff-necked and you don't want to listen to God, then are you really going to be a piece of clay that Yah could put on that slab and start forming? And you think about times where you've had struggles where you feel like you could be on that slab and you got to let Yah do their work. Well, it's hard, and this is really challenging. Well, in order to be molded and formed in God's ways, you have to let Yah do their work. Just like you mentioned the Adam video, do you remember the part where he turned back and he was like, no, that hurts, you know, kind of like if it's easy, and he says, no, this isn't going to be easy, but you got to let me do my work. Like, he kept interrupting God, and it's like, you're going to let me do my work or not? Okay, well, we'll work on this. I don't have that issue. No, you do, but are you going to let me do my work or not? And then he comes to the point where he breaks down and says, well, I can't be good. Well, that's why, don't look for your goodness to be from yourself. Look at it being by faith in my son. So just thinking back to that brings back memories of that video, watching that. But can you think about this from this aspect? What about, yes, Yah is the potter and we're the clay, but do we have any opportunity where we can be the potter?
I would definitely say we have many opportunities to be the potter, because in times where you have the ability to change yourself, and I know that we talk about it a lot, making heart changes and rending of the past and rending of those sinful things that you do, and that's a time where we could be the potter, because you're able to change yourself, but you can't just do it in an aspect of when you're in an emotional state, because that's when the pot is like on a wobbly, because then that's not going to stick. You have to do it once you are in a calm state of mind and you firmly decide that you're going to change, make that heart change, and that's when you're shaping it, and that's when you let that piece finally dry and you let it work. But then there's going to be times where you're going to have to fix it, because there's going to be times where you're being tested, and if you make that mistake, oh, well, let me fix that. And so I think that's a time, those are times where we can be the potter and having to fix ourselves and make those changes.
Very well said. And what came to mind, Alex, was that from an aspect of the creation, like we're a created being of God, that we are the clay and Yah is the potter, meaning we didn't create ourselves, like Yah made us, that we conform to the ways of Yah, that's up to us. Because a lot of people look at, have you heard of that word conform or conformity? Do you know what that is?
Heard of it, but I can't really remember the definition. If you want to relay the definition.
what it means is, and I'll put it to a workforce, like, for example, you're in school right now, that you would get out of school and you could go to college, or let's say you get out of college and you're looking to get a job and you go into the workforce. Conformity means is that you go along with what everybody else is doing. Like, for example, let's say in the area that we're in, that there was a major company, like a manufacturing company that made, let's say you're wearing an Adidas shirt right now, like that they make the Adidas shirts. Well, when you go there, it isn't necessarily that you may want to do something else, but instead of going through the pain and the struggle to go against what the pattern is, you say, no, I'm going to go against that pattern and do something different. Well, there'll be other people that won't do that. They'll conform, which means they will, think about it, form, like forming the pottery, that you go and do what, as the term, like what all the gang is doing or what everybody else is doing, and you decide to do that and you go along with the crowd. People look at that in the world as being really detrimental, where no, you're not supposed to conform. You're supposed to do something different to be extraordinary. But the kingdom of God is all about conformity. There's nothing wrong with conforming to the ways of God and their truth. That's what is pleasing to God, that you conform to their truth, that you, by faith, you seek it with all your heart, and then you apply their truth, and then you make it your own. You own it. You conform to it. People look at that as a detriment, but no, it's a good thing, because unity is all about conformity, that you agree with the truth, I agree with the truth, then we do the same things. In the word, it says that Yah has these treasures in jars of clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Well, make sure that when we conform, that we know the truth of it, just like you said. If you're making a decision out of emotion, then you're not thinking clearly. Like you said, you're all over the wheel. But think about it. You know what you're doing. You get the wheel running, and the wheel is going at a nice, consistent pace. It's just like, have you ever been on one of those merry-go-rounds as a kid where it goes fast? Well, you start, and you go fast, and as long as you're not being thrown off the wheel, like you settle in, and hey, this is okay. I'm okay. Well, that's the thing, is that it doesn't mean that you don't make decisions and emotion is involved. But if you're frustrated, you're aggravated, you're getting emotional, and you're attempting to make a logical decision, let's slow down. Let me get a hold of my emotions and really think reasonably and rationally with a sober mind. Then when it's being formed, then if I know the truth of it and I have a break, I'm going to fire that piece of clay and set it, and to be a beautiful vessel or vase or whatever. But it's like you said, don't fire it and form it and you have it deformed, and it's not, and you say you got to start all over, because you have to take that, you're not going to take that fired piece of pottery and re-wet it. You're going to have to smash it. Then you're going to have to start again. So be careful when you make those changes in your mind to get into the heart. Make sure that you've evaluated it the best you can, that it lines up with the truth of God. Then you can put it in the kiln. Then you can fire it. Then it's set and you can put it on the shelf. But if you see that you shouldn't have done that and you need to change it, smash it, go back and start again. And we do this a lot of times in our life, that like you're wrestling now, that you're learning things now that you, I'm sure that you didn't know at the beginning. And now that you know now, okay, well, now I know that, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to change that. I'm going to do this. And actually, while we're on that, with you being in wrestling here recently, if you could share with those listening things, like any kind of lesson or anything you'd like to share as opposed with in regards to wrestling, how that's helped with faith and vice versa.
I've had a lot of lessons with wrestling. One key thing that all my coaches that I've worked with so far that have told me, discipline 100% is key while you're wrestling, because if you're out of control and if you're not wrestling your match and if you're angry or frustrated, you're not going to wrestle good. You're going to be sloppy and you're going to make mistakes. And so putting that back to faith, being in control of knowing what you're doing and knowing what you're saying and knowing what you understand, that you're in control. You're not in, you know, not being frustrated, out of control, and being in control of yourself, having self-control. And I'm always learning new things with wrestling, especially now that I'm doing more with other coaches and learning new techniques and ways to wrestle. I can tie that back into faith with learning new things and working on different things and different ways to work on myself and to change, make those heart changes to be better than what I was before, and to get better and to improve.
How much of wrestling would you say is mental versus physical?
I'm going to be completely honest here. Most of it, if I had to give a percentage, I would say about like 80 to 90% is all up in your head. Because if you go in with the right mentality and, you know, and if you're not doubting yourself and you know what you're going to do once you get onto that mat, because you know everything that you're going to do and you know what you know. And that's something that we say in the gathering, like, speak what you know what you speak. And so on that mat, knowing what I know from what I've learned and knowing what I can do and what I can't do, I'm not thinking about the moves I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and I'm just going to do it. Oh, I see he's about to do this. I'm a counter and play and be defensive because he's about to be on the offense. He's starting to back up. Let me go in and attack. And so, yes, it comes with, there's a part of where you have to be physical and there's that physicality part, but most of it, I'm going to say, like, once again, 80 to 90%, it's all mentality. You have to be mentally focused. You have to go with the right mentality. You can't be doubting yourself once you get on that mat, because then you're not going to wrestle the way you should.
I was just sitting here and I just had that question come to mind, because just thinking about faith, that with the struggles that I have on a daily basis, 95% mental, 5% physical. I mean, to really, like, how much of my physical body is really involved, but you start to get a thought, well, what if I can't do this? What if this happens? What if that happens? And then you get caught off guard, you get distracted. And I've not wrestled like you have. I used to watch professional wrestling, which is, you know, really, other than maybe the roots of somebody came from Olympic style wrestling, maybe they would go into that entertainment, but just a different thing altogether. But just thinking about, because I've watched a few of the, I watched a video on, I can't remember his name, but it was back, I think it was 1996 in Atlanta. There was an American wrestler, maybe Rulon, I can't remember his name, but he was wrestling this guy from Russia that had been undefeated and just beaten everybody and was really strong and stuff like that. And it was just really more of like a mental determination, a will to win, that, you know, this guy is so strong, how can anybody beat him? He's undefeated and he's never lost a match. But what had happened, from what I remember, was that the guy that was undefeated had an injury and still was pushing through it and maybe shouldn't have gone as far because of his injury. But it made me think of how the mental preparation, because somebody could look at you or somebody else and say, well, you're not the biggest, you're not the strongest, but how do you prepare to wrestle somebody else? Maybe they go in overconfident and you think, you know what, I'm not going to focus on how big they are. I'm just going to focus on doing what I've been trained to do and do the best I can, where the mental will take over. And I was thinking about faith with this, that isn't it neat how the gospel message, that Messiah is referred to as the author and finisher of the faith, but he was the potter of faith. Now we get the opportunity, walking as he did, we get the opportunity to be the potter. He's like, with his life was fired, like meaning that he went through, and that vessel for honor for God has been fired, to where the example of Messiah, his work is finished. So we're told in the word that do not any longer be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you will know what God's will is, their good, pleasing, and perfect will, that you are a new creation in Messiah, that you've got to get on that wheel and you got to let God do their work, so that you can be that new creation that can be a vessel for honor, not stand before God and be a vessel for dishonor if you have sin in your life and you never find the place to be in Messiah with circumcision of the heart. Then therefore you're not able to be a vessel for honor, but for dishonor. And so many people out there think that, well, I've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I'm a vessel for honor for God. And it's, well, the vessel is Messiah, to make sure that you're found to be in him, that's what you want Yah to see. You want Yah to see Messiah when he sees us. And Yah gives us the opportunity by walking through the truth, the repentance, the obedience, and the trust, to be able to be that vessel for honor. And you have that opportunity being in the gathering to learn and apply the truth that we have, where you'll have opportunity to wrestle, and you'll be wrestling with your programming, and you'll be wrestling with self, and you'll be wrestling with the enemy will come to you. But in the Word of God in the Old Testament, Jacob wrestled with God. And we have a beautiful spiritual teaching there where he grabbed on to the angel and he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He let him go and he had a limp for the rest of his life. That I'm not letting go of this, God, until I get the blessing. It's a struggle and it's a wrestling, but I'm going to get this blessing and I'm not letting go. And that blessing ultimately is circumcision of the heart, the fullness of faith, where even though you have a limp, you still have the body of flesh. Yeah, I have this limp, but I have the blessing, which is the fullness of faith in God, and I'm not letting go of this, and I'm going to hang on to it until death. And so just thinking about, if you ever would wonder, is there any stories in the Word about wrestling, that we have Jacob, who was later called Israel, wrestled with the angel, and you're going to have to do that and wrestle, but hold on, persevere and endure until you get the blessing, because you keep wrestling like you're doing. And because I don't know the goals you've set, but whatever goals that you set, that you hold on to those and don't quit. You know, what is the blessing for you in wrestling? Is it learning more about faith? Is it winning a championship? Whatever it would be, you would have to answer that. But just, I think it's neat that you have the opportunity with your age, that you started young and you have programming of being in the gathering that we have and knowing God's ways, that a lot of things that people would look at is just crazy. And how in the world could you deal with that? Like, to you, it's just, yeah, well, we'll sit for 2 hours. It's not a big deal. It's something comfortable for me.
And I would definitely just agree with what you said so far. Just when I'm setting, you know, the goals I've set for myself to eventually, you know, end up winning a state title. This week, I'll head up to Virginia Beach to compete at Nationals at Virginia Beach, to go there and compete and get my name out there. And, you know, 'cause top eight will get, you know, will place and have an All-American to the name, going out there and, you know, competing and showing people that I'm the real deal there, and, you know, getting All-American to my name. Just those goals setting there, and also just being able to tie those to faith and, you know, get to that final goal of circumcision of the heart and get that full understanding and the full truth. But it's not easy. going back to what you said, it's not going to be easy. It's not like one day I'm just walking there and I'm going to be a state champion. You have to work hard and you have to seek and you have to change your habits and adapt away from your programming that you've had for all this time. And it's not going to be easy because there's going to be times where it's going to try to come sneak up behind you and challenge you. But you have to be mentally strong and fight it off, because it's not easy to get rid of that programming that you've had for that long.
Just hearing you speak, think about, there's so much information that you have stored in your mind that you don't even realize things that you would know. And with a podcast like this, just being able to give you questions, or somebody could ask you questions, that's the key of one of the great aspects of faith in Yah, is being prepared to give a good answer for the faith that you have. How can you give a good answer if you don't understand your faith? And we're not saying that you that you know the depth of everything, but it was just like you said, if you're going to go out wrestling, it would be foolish for me to think that, well, I've seen wrestling and I can do it. Because if I got down on the mat with you, just because of your mental prowess and being aware, that I would just think, okay, well, I just need to use my physical strength and just grab you. And you would be like, all right, well, I already see what you're going to do. And I'm already one step ahead and I'll just take you down. And then it's like, what happened? Well, you weren't prepared. And same thing with faith. And that's why the word says always be prepared to give a good answer. It doesn't mean that every answer that you give is you give this long speech of an answer. Sometimes a good answer is, I don't know the answer to that question, but I'll look into it and get back to you. But with programming, people think that, well, if I have this faith, and that means I have to give answers to all these questions. And Yah doesn't say that you just give answers to any questions that people have. Yeshua himself, they asked him a question and he says, I'll answer you if you answer me. And they said, we won't answer. And he says, well, I'm not going to answer. Well, you could think, well, that's the Son of God. Was that a good answer? Yes, it was a good answer. A good answer means a functional answer. If you don't have a good answer, then just say, I don't have an answer for that. And it's okay, but pride will come up. Why know this? I don't need to ask any questions. And then we get ourselves into a situation. I had something to bring out with this, that when you were talking about the potter and the clay, that it's a twofold process. And you could put this to in the world. There's a worldly example came to mind. College that's near us here, JMU, that you have professors. You have professor of music, professor of philosophy, science, astronomy, whatever. Well, you could look at the professor as the potter, that the professor is bringing the information and they're going to show you exactly what you need to do. You as the student, you're the clay. So you can take that information and apply it and then be able to do the things that are in that class. Sometimes there'll be laboratory work where you can have examples in the field. We are formed by God and Yah gives us that information. But what they do is, just like Messiah did with the disciples, Yah teaches us and then we teach others. So we go from being the clay to we can now be the potter of our own faith. That, for example, your faith is not your dad's faith. Your faith isn't your mom's faith. It isn't mine. That it's yours. And what will happen a lot of times is people will take the word of God and make it to their favor. I'll give you a scripture. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Well, see, God's the potter, so I don't have any control, and I'm the clay. So see, it's in God's hands. God's in control. But let's take it back to what God was saying when he was speaking to Joshua. I know the plans I have for you. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to someone that fears them, that's walking in their ways. And we're also given an example of Messiah himself. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. That's in Messiah, that he's speaking to prophetically to his son and to those in him, that these are the plans I have for you, to give you blessings for obedience, to not curse you. But people will take that and say, well, you see, I can't control this because it's in God's hands. Somebody dies of cancer. It's in God's hands. I can't. But people will be quick to praise God when they get healed of cancer. But when somebody dies of cancer, well, wait a minute. Wasn't it God's plan? Well, I don't understand. And all these other things. So in the grand scheme of the creation and the creator, Yah is the potter and we are the clay, but we have the opportunity to have that self-control where you're the potter of your own faith. And you can't blame anybody else, because once you get circumcision of the heart, if you fall away from it, you smash that vessel. It's been fired and you smash it. You can't be brought back to a lump of clay. You cannot be brought back to repentance again. And that's what Yah is teaching is, yes, they are the potter and we are the clay, but we become the potter of our own faith. And we mold and shape ourselves, obviously with God's help and their teaching, but they let us shape our own faith. So we no longer are going to blame the potter anymore. Don't blame the potter and make excuses. No, the potter has given us everything that we need to make this vessel and to shape and inform it. But a lot of times people would just put it all back on God, and it's God's fault. And you made me like this. And no. Yes, I made you with this body, but you have the choice to choose faith. That's why it says God cannot be mocked. Don't be deceived, because we reap what we sow. So just thinking about it, that you can go back to the professor, like you have, I'm sure you have a wrestling coach, things like that. You'll go back to them for help, but are they doing the wrestling for you, or are you doing it?
No, I'm the one going out there and doing what they taught me and doing it myself. And when, you know, they're not the ones making the mistakes, I'm the one who's going to be on that mat making the mistakes. And then I'll have to fix those mistakes that I made so I won't make them again. And so I'm not messing up the pottery the same way. I'm not messing up the clay the same way. And going back to what you said, it was really, I wanted to bring it out, but you brought it out beforehand with the being fired and being cut, dried up. Once it's dried, you could try to put it back. If you smash it and you turn away from Yah, and it's broken, and you want to come back, but it's too late, because all the pieces, you, even if you try to put it back together, it won't go back together, because that vessel has been already fired and dried, and all the pieces are crumbled and broken, and so it's irreplaceable. It's unfixable, and you can't fix that. And just seeing that as well, it also ties into what you said earlier, that people, when people try to change themselves, it's as if they're trying to put water on the fired vessel that's already been dried and it's already been made, and you're trying to put water on it, trying to change it, but you can't change how it already is because it's already been made. So and you can try to change the outside of it, but that core of it, it cannot be changed because it's already made of how it was. And I just think that's really interesting, all that tying in together.
Bringing that to your mind, because just like you said, like, we'll have different things and then you'll have a thought and it'll be, because that's the way Yah works. But think about this, Alex. All right, you're the clay. And I just thought about this, that you seek God with all your heart. You get to that place of repentance, that Yah will put you on that wheel, that like you break and you turn to God and you repent, that Yah will put that slab of clay and slap it down on the wheel. and now we'll start working with it. And you still sin, even though you're walking in repentance, but you're still on the wheel. And Yah says, no, it's okay. Just, you have forgiveness. We'll keep, you know, you're not thrown off the wheel, but you have forgiveness of sins, that you're still being molded. You're being stretched. You're being pulled. All right. And then you get to obedience and you're being formed. And you're being tested and tried, and your sin gets harder to deal with because you're really being, and you know, they'll pull it up and stretch it, and it's just, why is my sin getting worse? It's just, yeah, because you're being stretched, you're being pulled, and you're on that wheel, and you're centered on that wheel that Yah's keeping you in that place, and you're learning from Messiah, and you're getting shaped and formed, okay, and then Yah sees it, and what came to mind was, okay, now I see now that this is ready to be fired. And like you said, it gets fired. You get circumcision of the heart. Okay. Now you can be a vessel for honor for God. And just like, let's say, like you mentioned, making a vase. All right. What happens if you throw water on the outside of a vase? What's going to happen?
If you throw water on the outside of a vase, it really won't have any true effect on it. Until you start moving your hands across it and trying to shape it.
Done before, I'll give you some further detail on where my mind went with it. Like if you were, I'm just looking in this room, like this model truck that's there, that's already formed. If I were just to take water and just flick water on it, it's not going to do anything to it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have any effect to it because it's already shaped how it is. And so you can't change that just by throwing water in or even smashing it. You know, if you smash the vase, it's still that vase form. It's still the vase. It looks different and it's changed on the outside, but what it is on the inside and the core of what it is, it's still going to be the same. I could break that truck, but it's still going to be that truck that it was before.
And what I was thinking of with it is that once it's fired, now we have a place where Yah can dwell. Because you can't dwell in that wet clay because it's not a fired, formed vessel yet. You're forming it. Okay, now just like a product, we've got the product, it's formed. Now we're going to manufacture it. Now it's going to be sent out into the public. Well, you've seen times where products will have a recall. Oh, wait a minute, something didn't go right. Let's change it. Well, that's the thing. Yah, in their perfection, they look at a man or woman and can say, okay, now I see this one. Now it's time for circumcision of the heart because we're confident, even though the person still could have opportunity to fall away, that we're confident that this person will not do that. And we're going to fire this. Now, fullness of deity and bodily form, you can, just like a brand new glass or something, you pour the vessel, the water will stay in it. But this is a great example of faith that makes sure, see, that's the thing that where people get, oh no, I read the book of Hebrews where it says that if you fall away, like I think I've sinned and I've fallen away from God. No, if that happened, it would be like you said, that vessel is intact. It's now shattered because you fell away. I mean, like you drop the vase, it falls, it shatters. Yah's not going to pick it up and go, oh, okay, well, we'll put you back on the wheel and we'll reform you again. No, it's already fired. Just like, have you ever made cookies or made a cake at home?
Yeah, I've helped make cookies or I've helped make a cake before. And if once you've cooked the cake and and you cook it, and there's something wrong with it, you can't, try to fix this and try to fix that because it's already cooked. You've already made it that way that you're going to have to throw it away, and you can't fix that.
You were thinking the same thing that I was doing. Separate the flour and the salt from that cake or cupcakes when it's done. You can't. The only thing you could do is you crumble it apart and you have crumbles of cake and you try to move it with your fingers and I'm going to get the salt. And no, the salt is already bonded. And yeah, and that's the thing, that you become one with Yah and Messiah, that you separate because Yah themselves aren't going to separate. you separate. And when you do that, it's just like an atom bomb. Like, I don't know if you knew this, but the atomic bomb, that was the splitting of an atom is what caused that explosion. Well, think about it. At the very beginning, Adam, which was Adam and Eve as one being together, think about the splitting of an atom, that the catastrophe involved the splitting an atom. And that's why don't take what Yah has put together and separate it, because it's catastrophe, it's chaos. Yeah, you mix the flour and the sugar and you get the batter. Even then you can't separate it. Like even to that, but then especially when, like, that's exactly what I was thinking. You bake it. Well, we need the powdered flour back. You can't get it back. And that's a beautiful example Yah giving of, that's the fullness of faith. When you are in Messiah, you have circumcision of the heart, you have the fullness of deity in bodily form. If you fall away, that's why you can't start over again. Because really two things. One, you can't be brought back to repentance again, because Messiah is not going to come and die a second time because he's perfected. So your sacrifice that you need for righteousness is gone. So even if you went back, but see, you couldn't go back because it wouldn't be out of ignorance anymore. It would be willful. You can't start, because at the beginning you could put it to, well, we did ignore it, but you didn't know, you didn't seek it out. So there's no intent. But this is where it would be like if I was looking you face to face and said, Alex, in full upper conscience of this, I don't want anything to do with you again. Get away from me. Get out of my house. And it'd be like if I came into your house and somebody took your mom and just removed her from the house by force, how would your dad act or respond? It would be, no, you're not. This is unacceptable, that you're not doing this. It's blasphemous. But see, that's the thing. People think that they've gotten there. And ultimately, no. No, it would be something where, and it doesn't have to be a real big thing or big yelling and screaming. It's just a repent away from God, that I'm done with this. I'm not doing this anymore. And are you sure you're going to do that? Because if you do, you're not going to come back. And you're like, I don't care. If you do that, that you're really, what happens is you forfeit, just like Joe from sports, you forfeit, you give up your spot, that you don't lose it. You forfeit it. You walk away from it, and you pretty much forfeit faith. And God says, no, that's blasphemous. Don't do that, because you're just trampling mother's work by doing that. But I was just sitting there thinking about this, that so much of this people just assume that they know and understand, and God gets so much blame for things going wrong and the plan's not working out. And because the word says that, you know, he's the potter and we're the clay and we don't have any choice. And no, it's ultimately that you can't borrow somebody else's faith. You can't live somebody else's faith. Your faith is yours. But it is a process where Yah is the potter and we're the clay teaching us this truth. But once we learn it and make it our own, it's up to us to then take it out to others, to where Yah is still there. But, and we've said this before, we become independently dependent, meaning that I'm here with you just like a professor. You can ask me whatever you want, but you've got to go out and do the job now. You learn from me, but I'm not going to do the work for you. You've got to, in essence, Yah is teaching us how to do pottery on a wheel. Well, I'm going to show you the example, which is my son, walk as he did, and then now you can go and make disciples of many nations. You can teach people to be the potter of their own faith.
And something that just came to my mind is really, because when you mentioned them blaming God for the mistake or the problems that happen in their life, or they don't have any choice in what they do or how they are because Yah's the potter. You do, and there's three words that I could say that will just completely debunk him, and that's free will choice. You have the free will choice to make your own decisions and do what you want, and that is a part where you are shaping yourself, because with free will choice, you are making your own decisions. Yes, God and Yah are also a part of making you, but the free will choice is what you're doing when they give you that clay to work on it yourself. Because I could go over there and just hit you, or I could, you know, just take your hand. That's a free will choice. Or you say hi to me and me saying hi back, or me pushing you away, or just, you know, just blatantly ignoring you. Those are choices of being free, of having free will choice, and you shaping yourself, you know, choosing to follow in the steps of faith, or choosing to walk away and break your vessel. So Yah's not the only one who has a matter of say in your pottery. You have a big part in your pottery.
Well, let me ask you this. With you being the potter and working with your own life, which is your clay, do you want me messing with your clay?
When you say messing with my clay, like, when you say, like, you are touching it and, like, messing it up, or are you, like, trying to help and guide? Because I feel like that could go either way.
Meaning that, do you want me to reach over and, like, attempt to change you? And, like, no, I'm going to change you, Alex, because you need to do these things, and you need to, you're doing this wrong, and you need to, because actually, as you said that, I thought about this. It's a difference between me reaching over and messing with your, and messing with me, like I'm trying to get involved in your business. And Alex, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. And I don't know why you're doing that. And you're bothering me. And I'm reaching over on your wheel and trying to get you to change. And likely, would you like that, or would you fight against that?
I would probably most likely fight against it, because, why are someone on the outside trying to touch my wheel, my pottery? And I just thought of this as soon as you said that, going back to look at your own self and take out the stump in your eye before you try to take out the little splinter in somebody else's eye. Because many times when you try to, or when someone tries to see that, they see your own problem, you more than likely will have that own problem yourself, and worse than anybody else that you can see it in. So before you go and try to touch other people's clay and try to fix them, fix your own clay first and shape it yourself before you try to take out that little mishap or mistake in somebody else's.
Very well said, because that's where I was going with it, was in faith, it's not for us to reach over and change somebody else's clay, because we can't. All we can do is we can encourage and we can influence. And I can say, and you had just said it, well, are you attempting to give me some help so that I can change? Like, yes, I can give you advice and information from Yah, but you're the one that's got to then take it and internalize it and then start making changes and then mold your own clay. Because it's like the motivation that I can't motivate you. I can influence you, I can encourage you, but you, motivation is internal. So you've got to take the information and within yourself have to say, I'm going to change this, and here's what I'm going to do. Because we'll say this, like, I want to do it. Okay, well, wanting is a start. But the action comes when you say, I'm going to, then you start the process of changing yourself. And you're exactly right, that it's not that you don't see the speck, but what Messiah is saying is that I'm looking at you saying you need to change something, but I don't see that it's a log in my eye, that my problem is bigger than yours. So for me to help you with your issue, work on me first. And that's actually the best help for my issue. Because think about it, if you're sitting next to God and God is perfect, does Yah need to say anything, or you just look over and say, man, I want that. I'm going to do what he does. And then you could ask questions and the response would be, sure, if you want this, then you've got to do this, this, and this. Well, Lord, change me. No, I'm not able to change you. You can change yourself by taking and doing the things that I'm doing that apply the truth that I'm giving, and you will change. And that just bringing that scripture to mind that you don't realize the log in your own eye. And have you ever thought about this, that if you were to look at that and you see a speck, which is a mirror, so what are you really looking at? You're just seeing the reflection of the log in your eye, because think about what you see. It's a log. And if it's being reflected, then you're going to see that piece coming back at you. So he's saying you don't realize that you've got a bigger problem than somebody else. But what teaching do we have that says focus on yourself, or everybody else is the problem? You know, let everybody else change before I'll change.
So you're saying that with the teaching that everybody else is the problem, and that just really reminds me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that's cognitive dissonance, and seeing that, like, it's not me, it's everybody else. And that just ties really well with, you know, the speck in someone else's eye, but the log in your eye. And so, and until you get rid of that cognitive dissonance and realize that you yourself have the problem, that you won't be able to change. And I can definitely agree with you, influence, or just seeing somebody else do it and you wanting that yourself is one of the biggest things that can help you. Because I know we talk about it in the gathering that as adults, like for example, for my dad, he is, and my parents, they're a big influence on me, seeing what they do, you know, that's influencing me on what I'm going to do in the future and what I want for myself. And then vice versa down to my younger brother doing what I do. And he's going to see that, and either he's going to want that, or he's going to be like, oh, I don't want to be like that. I'm going to be the opposite of that. So seeing that and getting rid of that cognitive dissonance in your mind is really important for you being able to make that change.
You're exactly correct. Yes. That's even going back to one of the first podcasts, maybe even been the first, just remembering back that brainwashing and mind control, that you think about that. Somebody tells you something and you don't even realize it, and you just say wrong, or they're crazy, they don't know what they're talking about. Well, that's the cognitive dissonance, because your mind says, no, that doesn't line up with what I think I know. And you really have to have an open mind and say, you really have to be, and we talked about this too, you really have to be willing to be wrong in order to be right. Because think about the people that came against Yeshua. You know, Moses, we have the law, but Moses is the one that guides us. But what I'm telling you is the truth. I come from God, and you're trying to kill me. And they're comparing themselves to Abraham, and Messiah saying, Abraham didn't do these things. I'm telling you the truth, and you're trying to kill me. And you say, Abraham's your father. Abraham didn't act this way. Like, you've got all this cognitive dissonance. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this story, the man that was born blind that Messiah healed. And they kept asking him over and over, well, who did this and all this? And he says, why do you keep asking me to tell you again? Do you want to be his disciple also? And they come back at him and saying, you've been steeped in sin since birth. How dare you lecture us? And it's just like you said, cognitive dissonance. What do you mean that he's steeped in sin since birth? You don't think you were steeped in sin since birth, and that you know all these things and you have the law? And it's the same thing, but it's not just pointing the finger at them. It's us before this faith. Well, I know what I have. God is love, and I know these things. And you're not even willing to entertain. See, that's the thing. That's how you know you have cognitive dissonance. You're not even willing to entertain somebody else. That doesn't mean that you listen and in your mind you're like, this doesn't line up with the truth, but I'm going to sit here and I'll let them speak and I'll let them go. But that's the thing. The thing that really speaks to me on this is that people don't realize the cognitive dissonance. That you're just, I'm right in this, and you get frustrated and you're getting aggravated. Well, why are you getting aggravated if you're right? There's no reason. And I've been on this too, because it even, there'll be times where I'll be like, well, this person is doing that. And it's like, wait a minute. Is that really what's happening? Or is that just something in my programming? And that's why I remember we first started this podcast that we had, and I started getting frustrated looking at the screen, because somebody was just like, what you're saying is wrong. And it's like, you know, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? Well, what is that? Cognitive dissonance. Oh, so you think that, you know, you're trying to tell me I'm wrong, but looking back now, well, if the person wants to say that we're wrong, what we're saying isn't wrong, but that's your own issue. And it's just the brainwashing and the mind control and the cognitive dissonance. That's something that's just one of the centerpieces of Yah bringing out this teaching, that a lot of people assume that, well, God does everything. Well, cognitive dissonance. That's a very good point, because Messiah, he's just pointing out to them what they're not seeing, and some listened, some didn't. And that's the thing. You absolutely must be at a place where you're willing to be wrong in order to be right. If you're not, then the cognitive dissonance in your program is going to get you every single time.
And I can definitely see where I've had cognitive dissonance in myself, and it's probably one of the bigger struggles I've had and still working on, where I think I'm right, and I don't want to listen because I think what I'm saying is right, and I don't want to hear anybody else out. And realizing in the end that's just hurting myself, because in the end I'm the one who's wrong. And so working on that and seeing that in myself and having to change that, and I can see that, because it's happened in my everyday life where I think I'm right and my mom's or my dad's like, hey, it's not this, it's this, and I'm like, I still think it's this, and I'm not gonna listen because I just think I'm right. And just in more times than not, I'm the one who's wrong. And all that arguing and all that was pointless if I just had listened and stopped being so prideful of myself, thinking that I'm always right and that I know what I'm talking about, because you don't know what you're talking about. You're just trying to say things to say things, right? And so I think just seeing that now and being it brought out right now is a huge help to work on that for myself.
And I was just holding on to something you said, that it was actually the way you said it, that we get ourselves into trouble when we think that we're right instead of knowing that we're right. And I thought about this. Think about sitting in the seat of Yah in perfection. They know what they know is absolutely right. What reason is there to get upset or frustrated or angry? Now, I'm not saying that because of an injustice that they'll become angry, but it would be like if you're coming to me and you're like, and you're just getting all frustrated and you're like, I know I'm right. And it's like you're trying to convince yourself you're right, and you're trying to convince the other person you're right. But if you were right and it absolutely couldn't be changed any other way, and you sit on the side of the truth of it, you can think whatever you want to think. Well, why would I need to get heated? Why would I need to get elevated? Because it's the instances where, because it came into my mind where you're like, well, I think I'm right in this. But think about how Yah revealed themselves to when Moses, well, what name should I give? And they said, tell him that I am said that. And I just thought, like, when, just think about that, I am. Like, there's no, I think I am. I might be, I am. Like, it's just like, that's the matter of fact. And it made me think of the word where it says that let Yah be true and every man a liar. What that's saying is that in your mind, search for truth, because I'm putting all this cognitive dissonance. I don't care what men and women think. Let Yah be true. If this doesn't line up with Yah, then I'm not going with it, to where it made me think of a focus on, I'm getting away from opinion and all these, and because how much on TV and videos do people just sit there and think that they're right? Well, I'm right and you're wrong. And then, well, you're wrong and I'm right. And all this chaos is going, and nobody is willing to speak what's right because they don't know what is right. Because think about it, if you're right in what you do before God, you'll be accepted. But it just made me think of just how many times that when I get heated and emotional, it's because I'm thinking I'm right and I'm not sure. I'm trying to convince the other person I'm right, as opposed to just, I know I'm right in this and I've already made the decision. So this is what it is. And if you want to go any further, you can go here or there with management or whatever. But just, yeah, the cognitive dissonance, the brainwashing and mind control, that's, and we say this like one of the greater teachings. Well, all the teachings are great. But just that's one of those that's just such a foundational thing that will keep people, unfortunately, from the kingdom of heaven, because you're not willing to accept the fact that you don't know what you think you know. And people will hold on to that till death. And unfortunately, you'll be standing before God and you'll have to answer.
And I have to 100% agree with what you're saying, because that's a big first step into following to the faith of Yah and God. Because if you think you're always right and you think that nobody else is, they don't understand or they don't know what they're talking about, you're not going to be able to move forward ahead, because what you think you're programming and what you know that you've been taught your whole life is right. But everything that you know is wrong, and you're not getting anywhere. You're still standing in that same spot. You're not going to move anywhere. You're not going to move forward. And so, once again, you are correct with you. If you know you're right and you know what you're talking about and you don't think, there's no reason for you to have the anger or you have to yell or like forcefully try to convince them, because if they don't want to know and they don't, or if they don't agree with you, you know that in fact you're still right and that there's no reason for you to get upset. And so I think that's just a beautiful example of what you said right there, and just showing how cognitive dissonance can really just brainwash you into thinking how you think you're always right, and that nobody else is right, and that you know what you're talking about, but when you really don't, that's the issue.
Well, Alex, we have to be willing to reason with God, and really reason with people to be able to reason with God. Because like when you mentioned that, the word reason stuck out to me, that Yah even said, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Let's not like put the programming to the side, like you just forget about it, but let's really logically think about this. Is this true? Do we really know what we're doing? Okay. If we don't, then kind of like that, let's just let cooler heads prevail. Let's just calm down and let's reason. What's the problem? Because a lot of times with the anger, like fights, like both of us like the NFL, that they'll have a fight or they'll have some kind of issue. And what happens though, everybody comes out and they got to get them, and they get them separated. And one of them will still try to get back, and they'll push them away. And it's just like, hey, like if you ever noticed that, they'll look them out at, look at me, look, hey, look at me. Hey, get back. And it's like you lose your, and you're like, Are you all right? All right, let's calm down. All right, now get over here. All right, what is it? And then, well, he, all right, hold on. Let's get the emotion. You know, kind of like if in the heat of it, you don't think, and you get into, like, I don't know if you remember the play years ago where the guy got hit with a helmet, that was he really reasoning this out, or no, it was emotion-based. Like you said, don't make a decision out of emotion. What happens after? Oh, no. What have I done? Yeah, because you now you're back in your conscious mind before the lower conscience took over, and you're not reasonable. And that's the thing is people, and I've done it too, you fly off the handle. People have all this frustration built up, and there'll be like a mass shooting or something like that. And what happens? Now you're reason. What have I done? And some people, it's too much pressure, and they'll commit suicide or different things. But that's why it's so important that in faith, we're able to have self-control, where because Yah controls themselves, because they're reasonable. Most of the time when you lose control, you're not being reasonable to where, and yes, if somebody strikes you and it's going to be hard because you've got to reason this out. Wait a minute. All right, hold on. They don't know me, like what's driving it, all in the heat of the moment. But with faith, this is something you've got to reason out. Like, don't just listen to the podcast and yep, that's right. Yep, that's good. No, but are you really reasoning out? Does this line up with the truth of God? Is this in the Bible? Does the Bible talk about this? Is the essence of this in the Bible? It may not have it in words, but what in what story or what concept is Yah teaching? Wow, it does line up. Okay, well, because it lines up with the truth of God, I'm going with it. But reason it out and really think about it. Don't make a snap decision to seek after faith because you don't want to fire something. Like, for example, you fire accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and what happens? Yeah, here I am, God, and shattered. You know, this gives a lot of things to think about, but the reason the things out, ask Yah for help, ask, seek, and knock, because that's the Socratic method, is you use questions to reason, to where let's search for truth. But we're not looking to get the exact final answer and everything. Let's just seek truth. Let's reason the truth of this. And because you've had it here, what's Messiah really saying with the log and the speck? Is he just giving this example? Okay, yeah, I got it. Or what's he really saying here? What's the spirit of this? You don't realize all the garbage that's in your programming. Who are you to sit there and correct somebody when you have the same problem or worse? No, fix yourself first. Then you're going to be qualified, because then you can really help the person, because you can then see their issue because you see it in yourself. But what happens is, well, they need to change because it affects me. Well, but that's not a reason to tell somebody to change. You would say, hey, I've got this faith, and it'd be something for you to look into. But like you said, you can't force somebody, but we spend so much time attempting to force that it hurts ourselves, and then we wonder why nobody wants to listen to us, because you're messing around in their business and people want to be left alone. If somebody wants to be left, like when you're at school, if you have a thought and you're like, you know what, I want to share faith with this person, like I just, y'all speaking to me, and they say, I don't want it, leave them alone. Well, no, God wants me to, and you need to, no, you're just going to get, now, other than Yah says, Alex, we want you to keep pursuing this, that if they say they don't want it, just leave them alone, because you're not going to change them. And then if they continue in where they're going on the final judgment, Yah will say, do you remember when you were in high school that we had Alex speak to you, and what did you do with it? Well, I did nothing with it. Okay, well, then whose fault is that? Is that our fault, or is that your fault? But no, this is just really neat. I mean, with the potter, like all the stuff Yah's bringing out, like the, because yes, we have the potter's hand, but it gets to a point where the potter says, okay, now I want you to start making pottery in the image that I've showed you. And we're here with you, and you can ask us any questions you want, but you know, Alex, Sean, everybody, you've got to do the work. We're not going to do the work for you. We're going to teach you the best way, but you've got to do the work.
And with, you know, the aspect of, you know, don't force of what you the faith on somebody else if they do not want to hear it, because they're not going to be listening to you. They're just going to hear you speak, but they're not listening. They'll hear you, but they won't listen to what you say. And if they're not willing to listen and willing to talk to you and reason, then there's no point at all, because what does that show of us if we're trying to push it on them and force them to agree? Because then they're not willingly agreeing, they're being obligated to agree, and that's not going to help them at all. And going back to being reasonable, and you mentioning like fights, it brings me back to where we had a game actually get shut down, like in like fourth quarter with like 8 minutes left, due to fights happening throughout the whole game. We were on kickoff. And so I run down and I end up making the tackle like on the 11-yard line, and I turn around and all I see is someone push somebody, and then a whole fight broke out. And then I see someone throwing somebody, like lifting them into the air and tossing them. And that was a real, that was a challenge for me, because my immediate mind was to run in there and, you know, help my teammates and protect them. But that was to me a test of having self-control and being reasonable. If you do this, would that really help in that situation? And would you help, or would you go in there and, you know, pushing and fighting, would that outweigh the consequences of what you would receive going in there? Because if I had gone in there, I would probably have gotten suspended for the rest of the season. And so me just walking to the sidelines instead of going there and trying to get into the fight, into the pummeling, that was a real test of me having to use my self-control and not be unreasonable and go in there and just go in there to push and shove.
I just thought about this when you were speaking. Think in your mind, if a fight is attempting to be separated, and let's just say that you're the one that's being separated from the other person, it just came to mind, I didn't think about this, was when does it really diffuse? Is it because they push you back? Or is it when you decide that you're going to step away? Because I just thought about this, like somebody will push them back and they'll try to lunge forward and they'll kind of be that shield. But when it really stops is when that person that's being pushed back makes a decision that, okay, I'm going to walk away or I'm going to let it go. And then they kind of, their body, like their shoulders go down and they get out of the way, because I thought, well, no, they'll just hold them down and stop them. But yeah, they deter it. But when the person says, all right, I'll walk away, then they don't need to sit there and be a shield anymore, because they just let it go to where, yeah, because if you're not thinking ahead, you throw punches and stuff, and then you're not even thinking about, oh my gosh, well, if I get suspended, then what if they carry that over to like wrestling or something else or my grades? And then I can't, oh my gosh, well, I don't want to, but you're not thinking that, because you're seeing red in that. And I thought of this from the word, that we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because it says the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. So us getting frustrated doesn't make the righteous things. It's the self-control, that if you're doing what is right, you don't need to lose control. Because even if somebody like Messiah, if they shove Messiah down, what's he going to gain by fighting back? No, you don't understand. You're shoving the one that has all the power. But is it really better for me to strike you and you die? Or is it better for me to give you opportunity to repent, which that's actually better for you than me putting you to death? Because God could say, look, sin is all around. I'm going to put all these people to death. But they know if we do that and the person hasn't found the fullness of faith in Messiah, that they're going to perish for eternity, that's a big responsibility, to where they're not just flippant with putting people to death and things like that, that because they're thinking ahead and they're really reasoning it out.
Yeah, because if he would have retaliated back, that would have been just proving them right, and proving that he's not righteous, or he doesn't have self-control. So instead of him doing that, or even striking them down, he gave them an opportunity to repent from what they did, repent from their sins, and give them a chance Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And so and that's something that that's something I know that I need to work on in general, because an argument or in a fight, you're just acting out because of the adrenaline, and you're not thinking rationally. Your brain is just pumped, like because you're frustrated, and the adrenaline is just pushing that frustration. You're not thinking rationally, and you're just doing things out of you're doing things out of
give you some help, like either your programming or lower conscience is where you're, instead of, we should be living our life out of our upper conscience, not our lower, like the lower conscience takes over and you don't, and that's why I don't know what I'm doing. Well, that shows you that your lower conscience has taken over.
That's what I was looking for. So, but yeah, so just realizing that, and, you know, thinking rationally and taking that time to, is it really worth going forward with this and, you know, making this bigger than what it has to be, instead of thinking rationally and, you know, giving them a chance and talking it out and not making it into a bigger deal than what it has to be. And so thinking rationally and, you know, being able just to have a discussion instead of fighting or arguing or making things bigger, just take that time to think, is this really that big of a deal, or, you know, is it really worth fighting?
And something I hung on to what you said, to something to challenge you, is because you said the things that you need to work on through evaluate to change that to, I'm going to work on. Because a lot of times I'll say that too. I'll catch myself and will think, well, wait a minute, no. Because that's coming out of the lower conscience, which there are things we all need to do. But to get that into from a potential to a kinetic motion, you know, that's just something to do. But I was just thinking, unless you had anything else, this is a good pausing point. We've covered a lot of things. Is there anything further you'd like to bring out or anything else?
Not really. I think everything that I've wanted to brought out and everything that Mother wanted to be brought out tonight has been brought out. A lot of things for me to think about and work on, and changing some things that I've seen that brought out to me, because as we always say, the things that you bring out are the things that you need to work, that are mostly mainly for you. And so I can see a ton of things that from talking about this, that it shows that I want to work on and that I'm going to work on. So I think that was really interesting. But other than that, what we brought out so far, I think it's a good pausing point.
I want to tell you, you did a really good job. You speak very well for being 15 years old, to be on a podcast that you haven't been on, and just speaking so well and just to encourage you that Yah, I'd ask Yah for to give us what we needed, and Yah definitely gave you scriptures, gave you circumstances, different things. So something to hang on to for the next time you come on, that that you may have things that you have in your mind that you think we're going to talk about, but Yah has a way to move those around and bring things out. So, but because Yah was just giving us stuff left and right, so the glory goes to them. That I just wanted to let you know you did very well, and just look forward to having you on again, which we will have you on again, Lord willing. But yeah, we'll pause here. Every time we have a podcast, it's, I look at it as like it's a church gathering. We just had a good conversation, and we'll sign off for now, and we'll see what Yah has for the next podcast. But just glad to be able to have the opportunity to share God's truth, talk with you about it as well. So for everybody out there listening now and in the future, for me and Alex, we'll sign off, and we'll see you on the next podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.